I think that's the most important thing for us as coaches, to get to know those players. And you know, every year I hear it at the ABCA is, you know, players don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And you know, it's stuck with me ever since then. And I think that's the best way to get to know each other and get to grind together, is, you know, build those relationships. Money will eventually come if you love what you do, if you love impacting people, if you love the game of baseball. Just figure out how you're going to get better at it every single day and make connections.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
We are broadcasting live from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And coaches, you are in exactly the right spot. You're dialed back into our podcast and another edition of our Dugout Chatter episodes. We love the super positive feedback from these shows as we continue to highlight our tremendous, loyal, and proud ABCA member coaches around the country. And we've got another great interview dialed up for you today. But first and foremost, before we get rolling, on behalf of the American Baseball Coaches Association, we want to thank each and every one of you coaches for listening to this show each week. We love delivering this audio gold to you each week, but you know, I sit here with a pen and a paper myself, because there's so much great insight that comes from these guests that we're learning right along with you guys. And our hope is that you find yourself challenging what you're doing and teaching, developing and growing your personal philosophies, your ideals on this game. And you've heard it called the growth mindset, constantly evolving, never fixed. And this is exactly what these podcasts are all about. So stay dialed into what we're doing here, guys. We got another episode today and another tremendous guest. So many of our member coaches, they might have 20, 30, even 50 years in this game. And man, the insight from those coaches has been invaluable for us as listeners. But with today's show, we're flipping that script completely. We're bringing on one of our youngest guests to the show, but a loyal and proud ABCA member coach. Tyler Gillum is the assistant coach at South Mountain Community College out in Arizona, and it's only his eighth year of coaching college baseball, but in that short amount of time, he's demonstrated a true desire to learn and grow himself in all aspects of this coaching profession. He's been very active in summer baseball, spent the last five summers out in summer collegiate leagues. This summer, he's going to be heading out to the Cape Cod League to assist Scott Pickler and the Yarmouth-Dennis Red Sox. It's a pretty awesome opportunity. Plus, Tyler serves as the program coordinator for the health and wellness department there at South Mountain, teaching classes, developing curriculum. Plus, he's developed a personal growth program that he first implemented there at South with his team. It helped strengthen their team chemistry, and it's blown up from there. He spoke on our Expo Theater stage this past convention out in Anaheim, and has since fielded calls from coaches around the country on how to bring real perspective and this classroom approach to their players and their teams. Just a very impressive young coach, a true personal growth junkie, and all that's going to become very apparent once we get Gillum rolling on the airwaves. So again, coaches, these are about shining a light on the endless list of impressive, the incredible baseball men that are proud members inside the ABCA. And we love to look at this episode as an opportunity to get to know who they are outside the white lines. And we're excited to have guys get to know Coach Tyler Gillum from South Mountain Community College on today's Dugout Chatter episode. You know the drill, guys. Pop in those earbuds, crank up the volume. I want you to get ready, because this great insight is coming at you right now. Another Dugout Chatter episode, coaches, coming at you, and we're going to spend time with one of the younger coaches that we've had on our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, a guy that's entering his eighth year in college baseball. It's going to be his sixth as the assistant coach there at South Mountain Community College, one of our very first junior college coaches to be on the show, Tyler Gillum. Tyler, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Boom. What's up, Sheets? Man, I'm jacked up to be here. Just a privilege to be on the podcast. You know, I just got done listening to Brian Kane this morning, so just pumped to be able to be here and see if I can help some other coaches around the country.
Well, there's no doubt that you can. For the coaches that don't know, Tyler's a guy that I've met probably his first year of coaching, and we've been great friends ever since, and spent a number of conventions and obviously ABCA events, but also time outside the convention at different showcases and events, getting to know each other. And it's a guy that I respect how he goes about things and his approach to dealing with players, dealing with coaches, just a high energy, great personality guy. And so, Tyler, this was an easy choice to get you on the show. We've got a lot that we want to cover because, yeah, I think we have a lot to offer. But let's going to start here. Let's get our coaches caught up to speed on your path because you've got obviously an extensive high school career into junior college, into playing, into coaching, and we want to kind of explore that with you. So if you could, walk us through your career in baseball.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I'm from Ada, Oklahoma, small town. It's about 70,000 people. I went to Latta High School. It's a small 2A high school in Oklahoma. And, man, I tell you what, I've been privileged to be surrounded by a lot of great people, and that's helped me get to where I'm at now. And that's kind of my whole path through baseball. You know, it's at a young age, I fell in love with baseball at the age of five. And I tell you what, I had a cousin I looked up to a lot. They were really good in high school. He was about 8 years older than me. And I saw those guys win four state championships in high school when I was about 10 years old, and watching those guys go through and do what they do. And I was like, man, I want to really be a part of that. I want to go through these dog piles and get to wear these rings. And, you know, so as I grew up, you know, I just wanted to be a part of something special like that. And luckily, being a small town, you get to see those things. And, you know, the high school I went to, the school I went to in general, was it's got preschool all the way to 12th grade. So there's like 300 people in the entire school.
Oh, wow.
So I graduated with 72, and that's, I think, the biggest class Latta has ever had. So just starting from that, I mean, you're around baseball and you see you're in that environment all the time. There's not much else going on. And, you know, I had that person to look up to, you know, at a young age. So when I was about 12, I had a decision to make. My dad's side of the family actually rode bulls and rodeoed a lot. So I grew up on a ranch, rode calves and steers until I was about 12. And, you know, I made a decision. I think I'd rather get hit by a baseball than horned by a bull. So
any day
I tell you
week.
What. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. I mean, I think part of that, and I don't know if any of you guys, you know, I don't know if you've seen the movie 8 Seconds about Lane Frost.
Sure.
That's a go-to on the road trips for us. But, you know, after seeing that and my dad rodeoing and seeing all the injuries and, you know, going to PBRs and NFRs and all of that stuff growing up, you know, I decided I think the best thing to do is I'll just go down this baseball route. And so, you know, it led me into high school. Was really privileged to be around a lot of great baseball players. The cool thing is, growing up, we all played with each other since like coach pitch and 10 and under. So that team chemistry was really unique, and that's really, it's helped shape my philosophy on coaching and how, you know, I think team chemistry is huge, because we grew up and we were able to get on each other a little bit and push each other and challenge each other every day in practice. So, you know, I think that led to the four state championships that we were able to win in high school at Latta, and very special moments being able to do that. Just a group of guys that are just baseball guys that work hard. And, mm-hmm. you know, from there I went to Seminole State Junior College. It was the only place that I knew of. I found out about Seminole at a young age, and they're one of the most winning junior colleges of all time. So it's about 30 minutes from my hometown in Ada, and I said, you know, just hearing the stories, the background stories of all of those guys and what they went through and how they won, I was like, man, that's something I want to be a part of. And I had some options to go to some other places and probably play right away. And you know, I just didn't want that, you know, that path wasn't really for me. You know, I was able to go, when I was a junior and senior in high school, I was able to go up to Seminole and work out with those guys and go through, a burnout session. That's a weightlifting thing we do at Seminole, and, do some morning weights and hit with James Martin, their hitting guy. And, you know, I just fell in love with that place because it was a place where guys go there and, you know, it's almost like a little military. You're going to find out what you're really about, if you're a man or not. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's going to change your life, you know. And from there, I went to East Central University in my hometown, Ada, Oklahoma. And it was just a good fit for me overall. They had an education degree that I wanted to get, and I knew I could hop onto that coaching staff as soon as I finished playing. They had a master's degree of education there at East Central University. And, you know, I was, that's something I've always wanted to do. Since I was a sophomore in high school, I knew I wanted to coach baseball. So, I kind of saw that path and I knew that'd be a good fit for me. So I played there at East Central for 2 years, played second base. I was a middle infielder, average hitter at best, just tried to be a grinder and play the game the right way every day. And, basically that's what got me through everything, just trying to work harder than everybody because I wasn't overly talented by any means.
And getting there at South Mountain has been an immense opportunity because you're one of the unique assistant coaches, and I know there's a lot that are out there, especially in the small college ranks, who you're actually the program coordinator for the health and wellness department. And if you look at Tyler's online profile, guys, we were just joking before we started recording. It looks like he teaches about 75 different classes. But I know any time that we're texting or talking, he's always got something to do or a class to run off to. But talk about that element, especially your career there and what you guys have done there at South Mountain and what you're working on building.
After I coached 2 years at East Central, I got my master's degree in education with an emphasis in sports administration. Unbelievable opportunity there at East Central. They don't have a full-time paid assistant coach. So I was able to take the reins, running third base, run the offense, coaching the infielders. I did a little bit of everything there, and that was unbelievable opportunity to be able to do that at a young age, 22, 23 years old. And after I got that master's degree, I was really looking for a place that I could grow the most and where I could make the most connections. So, I've been to Phoenix when I was at Seminole. We have a spring break trip, and I went down here to South Mountain, and we played in Phoenix. Both spring breaks, I was at Seminole. So I got used to Phoenix. I loved it. It was the best time in my college career. I'm telling you, I hit those 2 weeks that I played in Phoenix were the best two weeks that I hit my entire college career. It was unbelievable. So I just fell in love with Phoenix, and I said, I could really make the best connections there. I could grow the most. I could learn the most. And if I could figure out how to get there, that's what I'm going to try to do. So once I graduated with my master's degree from East Central, I sent out some emails and to everybody in Phoenix, all the junior colleges in Phoenix, said, hey, I want to make the move out there. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. 2 weeks later, I got some emails back. Todd Easton, our head coach here at South Mountain Community College, emailed me back, and we got on the phone. He said, hey, I got a position open. It just opened, and I'd like to interview you. I said, okay, I'm driving out 17 hours straight. In a couple weeks, and we can interview. So a couple weeks later, I drove out. It was 17 hours straight. I'm pinching pennies together. I barely have any money, like grad assistant. All the volunteer guys and grad assistant guys know what I'm talking about, but I was wanting to make it work. So drove out, interviewed for 2 days, and then drove 17 hours back. And then on the way back, I got a phone call and got the job. So from there, a big thing about that interview was, the assistant coaches in Maricopa, in our district that we have, the junior college area, they don't get paid very well. We got some small stipends, and so you really got to figure out how you're going to make money. What's your side job going to be? So I told our head coach, I'll figure it out. I've done a lot of field maintenance work. I've got my master's degree. I'll see if I can get into the classroom, but I'll figure it out one way or the other. So my first job on campus, they actually found a field maintenance job for me. It was $9 an hour, and it was working 4:30 a.m. to 1:30 a.m. or 1:30 p.m., and then practice from 2:30 to 6:30. So just working 15, 16-hour days, trying to make ends meet and make it work, and grinding that out over a period of time, I finally got into the classroom. A course opened up that I could teach. It was healthful living, and I still teach it to this day. It's one of my favorite classes, and it's really helped me grow overall teaching that course. But from there, I had a student one time in my healthful living class say, Coach, we say we got an exercise science degree here, but we don't offer like 10 classes, and I have to go to another school to take these classes, and I'd really like to graduate from here and with that exercise science and personal training degree. And that kind of sparked my interest, so I started looking into it a little bit more, and you know, I noticed like, hey, we need to add some classes to this program, and I think it could really take off, especially where personal training's going and in the business world. So from there, I really started trying to build my resume and try to just grow as much as I could and get as much experience as I could in the personal training and exercise science world in order to take this job. That's the health and wellness faculty. It's program coordinator for health and wellness here at South. That's about a 4-year development. So 4 years later, just kind of grinding it out and getting some personal training certifications, learning exercise science. The job actually opened up. We had a person retire that was here for like 30 years, and the job opened up, and I was just trying to prep myself to get into that interview and basically win that interview, win those guys over. And I think I prepped myself for that. And now I got this opportunity, and we've had our first graduate of the program this fall. So really excited about that.
Yeah. I know you're very proud of what's gone on there from the educational side. And, you know, it's a interesting dynamic as well, because you talk about grinding it out. You've really approached the summer months differently than a lot of guys, where you're in situations where you have to recruit or it's time to go make money. But what you've done is you've gone out and really enhanced your resume by going out and getting these great experiences, whether coming out to Carolina or what you've done there the last few years in Texas, and really expanding your resume, expanding your reach of coaches, but also getting some great work at developing who you are on the baseball field as a coach. So if you could go into kind of that summer ball experience, because it's very impressive what you've done, and obviously what you've got headed up for this summer in 17.
Absolutely. You know, some of the best experiences that I've ever had in baseball were these last 5 summers that I've had the opportunity to go out and coach. And, you know, a lot of coaches around the country don't have that opportunity, and I'm just lucky to be at a place and be working for an unbelievable head coach that allows me to run with what I do and give me the opportunity to go out in the summer and coach. And, you know, the first 2 summers I was young, I went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and coached there in a new league. It was a brand new league, the first year of the league. So it unbelievable stories that came out of that, unbelievable coaches that were there actually the first year. It's a bunch of young guys figuring it out, you know, but that was the main thing. I was able to get, you know, some head coaching experience, but also make some connections in a different part of the country. I've never been to the East Coast very much. So just wanted to be able to be in a different area and, you know, continuing to learn and continuing to make connections. That's been my biggest foundation, you know, overall when I'm making decisions. I think a lot of coaches get lost in the money side of things. And, you know, you study a lot of successful people. A lot of it is, okay, how can I learn the most? And the connections are the best thing. You know, how can I make better connections and see if I can learn from somebody else? And that was my main thing. I wanted to go out and get some different experiences, see a different part of the country, and also coach 40 different other players. I think that's really special, being able to see a lot of these players come from different areas and different programs and different backgrounds, and getting to know who they are and maybe some of the things that they do that you know, on infield or hitting or pitching, just their routines and their habits and their practice and how they go about their business every day, and learning from what they do. You know, sometimes, you know, I learn as much from those guys than, you know, maybe that I teach more than I teach those guys. So it's that kind of led to me being able to go to the Texas Collegiate League with the Brazos Valley Bombers the last 3 summers. And man, what an unbelievable experience. I got to coach with 2 of my best friends, Kurt Dixon and Clay Cox. And we were there for 3 summers, and Kurt Dixon was our head guy there, and Clay Cox was our other assistant. And, you know, we had an unbelievable group of boys those 3 summers. I think we finished top 5 in the country in summer rankings the 3 summers I was there. We won the Texas Collegiate League all 3 times that I was there, and it was a 4-peat altogether. So right now this summer they're going on a 5-peat. So pretty special there. But, you know, College Station, Texas, where it's located, it's just unbelievable people down there, the fan base, they care so much. And, you know, I might coach the rest of my life and never be in a place that's that special. Who knows? You know, it's really close to my heart. And, you know, the ownership and the interns and everything that goes about that summer program with the Brazos Valley Bombers and the players we had and the coaches I got to do it with and the setup we had all summer is very special. And, you know, and that led, you know, again, like I said, to start the podcast, it was, you know, I've just been fortunate to be around some great individuals that, you know, that come together and they help me get better. And that part of it's really special. And now it's led into I got the opportunity to go up in the Cape Cod this next summer with Coach Pickler, who coaches at Cypress Community College out in California. And he's been up with the Whitey Red Sox and, you know, for 20 years. And what an unbelievable human being. And just can't wait to go up there and get that experience in the Cape and, you know, see if I can get around some good ball players that do things the right way, maybe do things a little bit different, and see what I can learn from those guys.
It's pretty awesome. And it was really neat because we got a chance to hang out at our ABCA Barnstormers event in Fullerton, and that was one of the first times you and Pick had a chance to really meet and talk in person. And I got to kind of witness that, and I think you're obviously on the right track, and you've gone about it the right way again. Developing that network, having a number of coaches you can call upon and get advice from, and mentorship, and you could not have picked a better guy to be with this summer with Pick. He's definitely going to be one of those guys for you for sure. Longtime ABCA member. And I think that leads into this, because I told you I don't want this Dugout Chatter episode to just be about you. I want to dive into some baseball stuff and expand our reach a little bit. And so from a distance, and this certainly piqued my interest, I'm watching what you and Kurt and Clay were doing there with the Bombers, and I'm cluing in each day to see what the latest tweet was. And you guys did a great job of putting in a system that allowed those players to be ultra-aggressive at stealing bases. And those numbers piled up, which again led you towards having a three-peat. And so you've brought a lot of that to South Mountain. And I'm again paying attention this year, and obviously Clay being a new head coach there at Paris JC, you guys are fighting back and forth to lead NJCAA in stolen bases right now. You guys are top 1, 2, and 3 somewhere in that ballpark each week. And so if you could, let's talk about stealing bases. Talk about the plan that you took there with the Bombers and then how that's carried over to what you're doing at South Mountain.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's really fun. It's something that, you know, we've kind of taken with and run with when we were with the Bombers. That's where it kind of developed for me, where it really took off. And I kind of got some credit because I was coaching third base box and running the offense there with the Bombers. But, you know, Kurt Dixon is a pitching guy. He was our head guy there with the Bombers, and he let us run with, you know, whatever you want to do with the offense. So he didn't micromanage me by any means. And I said, hey man, this is some of the stuff I learned. I think it's very beneficial, and I think we can definitely change what we're doing offensively and really be hectic on the bases and be really aggressive. And I think we can steal a lot of runs from it. And, you know, it's originated from, you know, back from Seminole to, you know, all the way from when I got here to South Mountain. Again, it's just me being around the opportunity that I've had to be around some awesome people, you know, and picking their brains and seeing what they do on the bases. And, you know, it started a lot with a guy named Chris Duffy that was here coaching with us at South Mountain Community College. He played at ASU and then played 5 years in the big leagues with the Pirates and came back to Arizona and started coaching with us. And he really started breaking down some of the things that made us successful stealing bases. And a lot of it was just numbers-wise, being on a stopwatch, figuring out just times and just figuring out some little things that make a huge difference on pitchers holding runners. But from there, it progressed into summer baseball, and, you know, we had a lot of great guys. And what the awesome thing is about summer baseball is a lot of teams get to recruit their own players, and you get to recruit from all over the country. So, you know, we recruited around a lot of speed. So that was a big piece of it. But also a lot of guys that, you know, our first meeting with our team was, hey, don't be afraid to fail around us. Definitely we want you guys to be aggressive. There's some times where we're going to get thrown out. Just give them a couple pieces here and there on base running each week. But overall, more than anything was, hey, if you know every pitch we're looking to steal a base, they have to shut us down. And you know, from there we learned a lot. You know, those guys ran with it, and it was special seeing those guys do that. I think our last year there, we ended up with the Bombers, we ended up stealing 163 bases altogether, and it was about 60 games. You know, we broke the individual record with the team individual record, and then we had a guy named Jimmy Norris who was a D3 kid. They actually called him Jimmy Baseball in Brazos Valley. That's what the fans called him, because he's just a baseball rat and played hard. But he ended up leading us in stolen bases one summer, and it was really cool seeing that dynamic, but having those kids and buy into whatever we were selling, but being aggressive. Hey, you know, don't be scared to get thrown out at third base. We're, you know, basically take the handcuffs off of them and let them go. If they see it and they can take the bag, let's do it. And that basically led into these last couple years. We've had a guy come on our staff, an assistant coach named Josh Garcia. He was at University of Arizona for a couple of years, played there. He played here at South Mountain Community College, but played for Coach Lopez down at U of A and coached with Coach Lopez. And Coach Lopez loves base running. And, man, Josh has really taken us to the next level. And, again, you know, surrounding myself and being able to be around some awesome individuals and learn from those guys. And Josh is another guy that's just taking it to the next level with running our offense here at South Mountain. You know, we took a little bit of what we've done time-wise on the stopwatch, and then Josh just took us to another level. We work on base stealing or base running 10 or 15 minutes in every one of our practices. I think that's been one of the major keys. Coach Garcia just runs with it. He's the mastermind behind the practice piece of it, and we all buy into it. And again, the cool thing is we have five coaches on staff, and we're all bought into it. It's not like, you know, somebody believes something different. We're all on the same page with it. And I think right now we have, I would say, 166 stolen bases in around 40 games. So the goal before the season was 200 stolen bases. So we'll see if we get there, but Clay is doing a great job. I think he's leading one of the Texas regions down there in stolen bases. And a lot of it, you know, is just learning from everybody else. That's the main thing. How can we be better? What do we need to change? You know, in the past, we didn't work on base running for 10 or 15 minutes every day. You know, we did it every once in a while. And I think that's been the major key. And Josh has taken that and ran with it. And that's taken us to another level on the offensive side of things and causing havoc. And, you know, I kind of call it green light special, baby. We're going to try to take every bag that we can and put some pressure on it, on everybody, and pressure burst pipes. So that piece of it's awesome. Another thing that we also use to that is give Terralico a little shout out with stillbases.com. You know, we got his program and ended up, Josh got his program and studied some of the stuff that they did that he kind of learned from Mike Roberts. And Mike Roberts, he's up there at Contuit, and he's in North Carolina and works with the Cubs now, and he's really, really, really good on the base stealing side of things. But again, like, we're just trying to get better and learn from everybody that we possibly can and try to implement it here at South, and you know, try to develop players to be the best that they can possibly be and take advantage of what's possible.
That's great. I really appreciate you exposing that, kind of diving into it a little bit for our coaches. And if you're wondering, guys, you keep hearing this voice, and if you're in Anaheim at our ABCA convention this past January, you know, Tyler Gillum on paper looks a little familiar, because it's a guy that we had speak at our brand new Expo Theater that was inside the ABCA trade show. And what I want Tyler to kind of go into, and what we had him talk about, was this personal growth program. And him and I got on the phone definitely back in the summer, but maybe this was early fall, and you really started talking to me about this program that you were doing there at South with your guys. And goes back to that very one of the very first points you made about your high school program was the camaraderie, the team chemistry, and how you really implemented this program to help bring your players together, and it worked. And obviously it's expanded and grown since then. So if you could dive into that personal growth program and expose it to our coaches.
Absolutely. It's been a game changer for us. It's, you know, just one of the other variables that we have here at South. And, you know, it, in the past, I've, you know, I taught that healthful living class that I was telling you about. And it's basically a class on, you know, being healthy and wellness, but also finding happiness and being successful. And I just love studying successful people and how they go about their business every day, and, you know, studying coaches and people in business and CEOs and, you know, fitness people, anything that you can think of, if you've been successful, and study their psychology and how they go, what their morning routines look like. And, you know, and what I started figuring out over a period of time is there was this blueprint to success or happiness, however you wanted to look at it, and you know, whatever your goal was and whatever you were searching for. And, you know, a lot of these people had some of the same, you know, characteristics, some of the same routines and habits every single day. And I started looking at that and trying to put a program together and, you know, look at our program and say, okay, you know, we're not getting more scholarship money, you know, we're not getting, you know, the best, you know, maybe a new locker room or all these other things that, you know, maybe some schools have. But what can we do that is a game changer? And it doesn't just help our guys on the field, but it helps them leave, you know, when they leave our program, they're successful in other programs. And, you know, and I looked at it as, you know, how can we just develop guys in all aspects, from, you know, as a student, as an athlete, as a citizen in the community? How can we develop better overall? And how can it be a problem solver? I see it as a problem solver. You know, when we first started it, we called it Growth U, but we're going through some rebranding right now, and we're looking to rename it and start it with something different. And to give you a little bit of background of it, what we do is, you know, like I said, it was a problem solver for us. So for us here at South Mountain, we're a commuter school, and we don't have dorms and we don't have cafeteria. So, you know, going back to when I was in high school and then when I was at Seminole State Junior College, the camaraderie and the team chemistry that we had is because we were around each other all the time. And at Seminole, that was in the dorms. And, you know, I thought that was a huge piece of really getting to know each other. And I thought we needed to do that a little bit better here at South. Like, what was the thing that we could do that could change, make it, you know, make something be a little bit different, where we could get that team chemistry to the level it needed to be? And, you know, what we did was a 1-hour classroom session each week through the fall. It was on Fridays. We did it at 10 a.m. It was a way that we could sit down and just talk and get to know each other, you know, but it was also a problem solver, where I think a lot of times in our programs, in any sport program, or even just in general in life, I think we've got all these problems, and then on the back side of it, we rehab all these problems. Say for instance, you know, we have to spend time on either disciplining guys. You know, in the past, we've had to discipline guys over whatever issues, and these guys spend a lot of time on the back end, you know, doing a lot of unnecessary running, or, you know, and they don't get to practice as much. Or, you know, the last week in the semester, we're dealing with guys that maybe have some trouble in the classroom. You know, how can we prehab that instead of rehab that? So instead of looking at a problem and rehabbing it on the backside, which we do in our culture a lot, how can we prehab it? Just like exercise science, you know, how can we per se do some band work, you know, do some Jaeger bands, before we throw? How can we do that in a classroom setting? How can we prepare these guys to be better in the classroom the first 4 weeks, instead of having to rehab it and try to figure out how they're going to pass that class the last 4 weeks? You know, so that was one thing that we looked at. You know, and some of the results we had were this. Our fall team GPA was a 3.5 GPA as a team. Unbelievable. Just had guys that killed it in the classroom. We had 9 guys that had 4.0s. It was the best win-loss record in the fall that we ever had. We played 20 games in the fall, so that was positive. Best team chemistry right now, I think we're like 29-11. We're leading the conference right now. We're number one in the conference, and, you know, a lot of that has to do with the team chemistry piece and understanding how to overcome adversity. You know, that's a big piece of it. And, you know, a couple of little things of that one classroom are this. So we started with goal setting, and we did some stuff from John Gordon, telescope and microscope, and that was huge. And I let all the guys come up with their own team building, their own goal setting, what they wanted to do, and we ran with that. And from there, we talked a lot about time management, and that was a huge piece, that time management from when you wake up in the morning to when you go to sleep. Every 30 minutes, we put a nutrition plan in there. We got a great strength and conditioning program that we've added all of our times in there. And, you know, we talked about routines and habits, because if you study successful people, they're getting out of their comfort zone a lot. They're going to have some type of routine that they do every single morning. If it's yoga, if it's exercise, if it's breakfast, there's a book that I just read called Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss. And there's a bunch of people that he interviews in podcasts, and 80% of those highly successful people, they do some type of meditation, either exercise or breakfast in the morning. That piece is in there. So it's very interesting. So I'm like, okay, why don't we add that to what we do every single day? So we've added that. You know, I just think understanding perspective is a huge piece of it. We talk a lot about Navy SEALs and what they go through every single day and how they train and their psychology. I think that's a huge piece. We do a poster that got from Brian Kane called Compare to What, and it's just a perspective poster. And how we go about that, you know, how we go about our business if we're going through some negative experiences, and what we can compare that to, because there's a lot of other people out there that are a lot worse than we are, you know. And I think that Compare to What day was really huge for us in that team building piece, because what we did was we had our team in a classroom, and I basically just asked them, what's the worst thing that you've ever had to endure in your life? And you know, the stories that we got out of that were unbelievable, and I think it pulled us together as a team closer than anything that we've ever done. And I've had some other programs call me and say, Coach, you know, we did the Compare to What day and that perspective day, and the stories that we got were unbelievable. And I think that's the most important thing for us as coaches, to get to know those players. And you know, every year I hear it at the ABCA is, you know, players don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And you know, it's stuck with me ever since then, and I think that's the best way to get to know each other and get to grind together, is, you know, build those relationships. And that was a big day for us, and it seems like it's worked for some other programs around the country. But you know there's a lot of little things that go into the program of development, but overall it's just trying to look at successful people overall. What is that blueprint? What do they do every day? And can we replicate that on what we do?
Absolutely. A fantastic idea. And I love it. It's almost like Perspective 101. And that's additional class that you're teaching. And what's great about it, and when you reference this, is even before we got you on the Expo Theater stage, even before that, but then certainly after that, you've spent a great deal of time. Again, you talk about expanding your network and reaching out and having multiple folks to call upon. These people are calling you saying, Tyler, we need some help, man. We're trying to really help bring our team together. Or what are some elements of this program that we can implement to try to open up our kids? And again, you're offering them valuable, almost invaluable perspective. So if there is a coach listening to this and they're intrigued by what's going on and they're interested in finding out some more, can you give them some more insight and maybe give them some contact information that'll be able to connect you guys?
Absolutely. There's been quite a few coaches that have implemented it this spring, and we're going to continue to build it and continue to try to get it out there, because it's been a game changer for us. So would love to talk to anybody, because not only maybe I can help you guys, or, you know, I can help some other program, but you know, I've got a lot of feedback, say, hey, what do you think about adding this to it? And so I've learned a lot in the process. You know, we started it and it was 1.0, and now it's 2.0, and we're going to continue to try to build it. But if anybody would like to get a hold of me and talk about the program, my email is tyler.gillum@southmountaincc.edu. But you can also reach me on my cell phone, which is 602-370-7649. my number one goal this year. I've got, you know, I try to set some big major goals. I think a lot of successful people try to do that, and then they try to break down those goals. And my 2017 goal is to have a positive impact over 1 million people by December 31st. And it's really lofty and it's big. And a lot of people say that that's probably crazy, and that's fine. You know, setting those big goals is, you know, it's helped me get to where I'm at right now. And, you know, it's going to help me get to where I need to be in the future and to get out of that comfort zone and try to get a little bit better. So, you know, anybody that I can help and have an impact on their life or their program, I would love to have that opportunity.
Love you dropping the email. It's pretty awesome when a guy drops his cell phone, because you know it's for real. So, coaches, be respectful of that, but obviously follow up with Tyler post podcast and see if we can't help you move down that walkway towards developing your program. So let's get into really some more insight into you, because I think that's the crux of this, man. A very impressive guy that's out there coaching and developing and obviously networking with guys. And I think, what are we looking at 8 years in, Tyler, that you look at as a lesson learned along the way? Something that was kind of an aha moment for you that you really picked up that, you know what, I would have done it this way when I was 22, 23, but I see now that this is maybe the path that I take at 30. What are some of those lessons you would offer our listeners?
Sure. I think the biggest thing is, you know, going into it, you know, you see a lot of coaches as they get older, they get a little bit more patient. And I think patience is the major key. And I think it's patience in the macro. And what I mean by that is the big picture. And it's a lot of work and a lot of hustle in the micro. So in the day-to-day stuff, it's really just grinding it out, working as hard as you can, trying to learn as much as you can and get as much done and in the day-to-day stuff and in the micro. But in the macro, it's patience. And, you know, as I was a young coach, I would, you know, kind of as a player, you know, I was really competitive. And when things didn't go right, you know, I there'd be times where I wasn't too happy about it, or maybe I didn't react you know, properly, and kind of lost my mind in some ways, maybe, you know, not necessarily went too crazy, but just didn't handle it, you know. And the best thing that I've learned looking at some of these best of the best coaches is, you know, how calm they are in the most hectic situations. And I've had to learn that over a period of time, where especially not just in baseball, but in life too. You know, there's so many obstacles and adversity that we go through every day, and we're really reactive to it right when it happens. And, you know, it's how you respond. You know, there's the events that we have in our life, we don't control, but how we respond to those are very, very important, and that leads to the outcome. So for me as a coach, being able to look at everything that I was doing as a coach and be able to look in the mirror and say, you know, if my players aren't, you know, executing like this, then I need to change what I'm doing every single day and take responsibility for that. But having patience when things don't go right, be able to evaluate it and be able to, okay, what's the next answer? Again, problem solver, trying to let's quit complaining about all these things that are going wrong, because things are going to go wrong. You know, one of my favorite sayings is, the problem is we think we shouldn't have problems. You know, I heard that on a podcast from somebody, and I thought that was huge. The problem is we think we shouldn't have problems. And I was like, you know what? That's so true. If you understand that there is going to be problems, and all you're doing is looking for solutions and being able to be calm in those obstacles or in that adversity is huge. If you look at Navy SEALs and how they go about their business in the most hectic situations, you know, they try to keep their heart rate at in between 60 and 80. And that's where you get in to all these sports psychologists and, you know, different people in the baseball world. We're talking about, you know, focus on your breathing, play the game one pitch at a time, and understand those little things. You know, as a coach, that's been the biggest thing for me, because, you know, when things go wrong, especially in junior college, you know, some things don't go right. Being able to keep your calm in the dugout and how that's going to affect your players, you know, and in the third base box too, you know, not being able to be emotional in the third base box when, you know, a guy misses a sign or a guy misses a bunt or swings at a curveball in the dirt or something like that, being able to get to the next pitch, because, you know, our body language is very important. But that patience to be able to do that, I think has been the big key for me over those last 8 years, just to grind it out every day, work, try to get better and be patient and know that, if I am where my feet are, if I'm in the moment, if I'm present, then all those things that I want, those outcomes, they'll eventually show up in the macro in the long run. So just having that patience.
I knew if I teed that up for you, you would absolutely drop some certified audio gold. Fantastic job, Tyler. That's great stuff. This is might be a tough question, but obviously through the teaching, I hope it doesn't just fall back on that. But if you weren't coaching baseball, if you were doing something else out in life, what do you think it would be?
Man, well, at 12 years old, I would have decided I wanted to be the next Lane Frost. But
there you go.
I don't know. Who knows? I might be a bull rider. I might be roping something. Who knows on that side of things? I've always wanted to coach. I've had a lot of coaches make a profound impact on my life. So that's the reason why I went into teaching and coaching and try to impact others around me. And I don't know. Maybe a cop, maybe a firefighter. I love some country music. I can't sing for anything, but I act like I can a lot of times. But every once in a while, I try to sing in the shower maybe, but that's where I need to keep it's just in the shower because it's not very good. But it's maybe fake it till you make it, I guess. I don't know. Bull riding, rodeoing, I don't know. That's what my dad's side of the family did. It's what my dad did. So maybe I'd be doing that.
Well, it kind of leads into this question, because obviously talents and hobbies that are outside of what the normal person who's in touch with you knows about. Like, I know one hidden talent. I know you can line dance as good as any coach that we've probably ever had on the podcast. But if you could add in, what else are you great at? What are some of those little things that not a lot of people know that you're really good at?
Oh man, just to make sure that we're on the same page, it's two step swing. That's what I can do a little bit. If somebody doesn't know me, the line dancing's more. I'm not into the line dancing too much.
Okay.
That's kind of the woman thing to do a little bit. But two step swing, man, that's whew. I'll get after it. I'll cut a rug on a dance floor. I'll tell you that right now. So, love Texas country music. That's a huge thing of mine. But to add on to that, I used to write some poetry back in the day. I used to love writing poems, and I've gotten away from it a little bit. But I used to do that quite a bit back in the day, and I had a couple poems that I was pretty proud of. There were a lot of them were on baseball or competing, and had a couple coaches actually read those poems to their high school team before they played in the state championship game. So I always thought that was pretty cool. But if it's something away from baseball or away from teaching, it's usually something to do with some Texas country music and maybe some two steps. So
I'm picturing a rodeo clown writing poems right now.
I don't know about that makeup piece.
Yeah.
I don't know about the makeup, I was a rodeo clown 1 year for Halloween. So yeah,
go.
You never know. Those guys are crazy. Those guys are awesome. Watching those guys do what they do every night.
That's a different breed of human. That's for sure.
I'm telling you,
they're thinking on a different side of the brain.
I'm telling you, talk about being competitive or facing fear right there. Those guys definitely do that every night.
That's a fact. I always love this question, because some of the stuff that comes out of our coaches is absolutely awesome, because we all been on buses, we've been in dugouts, we've been in locker rooms. But if you could, in 8 years, especially all the different teams you've been in contact with, what's been some of the funnier stories that you even think about today that still make you laugh?
Man, that's really tough, man. It really is. It's, I tell you what, I don't know what it is. Summer baseball, man, we in the Texas Collegiate League, we always had some awesome bus drivers. We have stories on stories on stories about bus drivers, and some awesome ones, some crazy ones, but it seemed every summer the bus driver would always he was wanting a hat, he was wanting a shirt, and we would hook him up. And you know, I tell you what, we had a guy, actually one of our bus drivers, I think we were playing in a playoff game in summer, in summer baseball. This bus driver drove us most of the summer, but the opposing team was coming to our place to play. So the bus driver picked those guys up, brought the team to our home field, dropped them off, and ended up in our dugout in the seventh inning. We have this thing that we do with the Bombers in the seventh inning. They play Sweet Caroline, and like it's different in the summer. Like, they shut down the whole inning for 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes in between the seventh inning, and we sing Sweet Caroline, our whole dugout, everybody. So we actually had their bus driver that took them to the game in our dugout. He was in front of our dugout singing with one of our pitchers, Sweet Caroline, fist pumping, doing all this stuff. And it became a huge ordeal. Everybody was laughing. It was one of the funniest things that's ever happened in summer baseball, because the guy was just all bought in with the Bombers, but mm-hmm. they were talking about not getting the guy a hotel after that, and it was priceless. it's funny what winning does to you in the summer. You know, there's guys that jump on board, and you know, so that part of it's special. And there's a lot of other little stories that are pretty funny. We had a bat boy that was with us this last summer, and it's funny how baseball can impact others, and it's a lot bigger than the wins and losses. And we had this little kid, and he's had some troubles in the past, and he wanted to be a part of the Bombers, and we let him come in the dugout. Even in, you know, they actually had sign-ups for bat boys, but this kid, he just showed up every day. Like, he wasn't signing up. He wasn't on the sign-up list. He just showed up and was like, hey, I'm going to be a part of this, boys. And, you know, seeing the impact that the team had on him, but, man, he had on us. There was some funny things. He would go throw out the first pitch, and there's like, you know, you're supposed to sign up for throwing out the first pitch. It didn't matter. He would just run out there, and you know, there's numerous things. He would go slide into home plate, going to get the bat at home plate, and you know, after a guy hit, and he would dance in the dugout. He would try everybody's shoes on, and the guy was relentless. That's what I loved about the kid. You know, I mean, he'd try to play catch with everybody. And you know, it got to a point where, like, man, you know, he's asking us to play catch again, but he'd go through the whole team. And, you know, he would throw bullpens in between games. We'd have to get him back in the dugout or in between innings. He always wanted to be a part of it, but it was funny just watching him and going through all the things. He would leave in the fifth inning to go get a snow cone and go jump on the jump house, and then come back and be like, "Where'd you go?" And he'd have a hot dog, and man, it was funny, man. But it's cool because he quit baseball that summer before that, or that year before that. He became our bat boy, and then this year he's on a couple different teams playing, and really cool to see the impact on him. But yeah, he kept us laughing all summer because he was around, you know, causing havoc in the dugout all the time. So it was pretty cool.
That's outstanding. This is always a great one as well. I mean, talk about the three or four guys that have impacted, and you referenced them earlier. You've had a number of great baseball men, either former coaches or guys you've met along the way that have had an impact for you. And we always go to the Mount Rushmore. So if you could put those people up and give them the shout out, who would be those three or four people that have really impacted you the most in this game, Tyler?
Oh man, there's so many that I mean, they don't even know that they've impacted me. And, you know, I've read so much and tried to, you know, get around as many people as I could. And I've had so many, it's hard to put all those guys on one list, but, you know, I'd have to start with Eddie Collins at Latta High School, my high school baseball coach. Unbelievable, changed my life, you know, second dad to me. You know, taught me all the little things about the game, but a lot of it was a lot of life lessons, and that was the biggest thing. You know, a lot of what we do with our with our development, our personal growth program here at South Mountain. A lot of the foundation came from Eddie Collins and you know, the work ethic that he put in every day. Man, we worked on the field 2 hours every single day. Our field had to be the best. It was about doing the little things all the time. It was about working harder than everybody else. It was about being respectful to your opponent, but not fearing anybody. It was, he's definitely a guy that was really focused on everything he did. He competed in everything he did. If it was from, you know, working on the field or in the classroom as a teacher or getting to know people, and just made a huge impact on my life as a coach. And that's what, you know, he's a major reason why I coach, because he taught me how to grow up and be a man. And then from there, you know, I went to Seminole State, and Eric Myers was the head coach there at that time. And he gave me an opportunity to play there. And, you know, almost everything I do, you know, I'm the man that I am today because of Seminole State. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with Eric Myers, because, you know, he held a higher standard than anybody's ever held on me before. It is unbelievable, you know, the work ethic that you have, waking up early in the mornings, 4:30, 5:30 in the morning, and going to work out. You know, one of our sayings was, we were going to work harder than anybody else before they even woke up. You know, from poems, I got a poem in my office that I've held for the last 10 years. It's called The New Day. And it's about basically winning the day and don't take this day for granted. And, I got that from Eric Myers. You know, and the way he just went about his business, competing, not being afraid of anything, attack life as much as you possibly can, overcome adversity, control the things that you can control. And, you know, that's been a huge piece. Dino Rosado, first head coach, that gave me an opportunity to coach. So definitely got to say thank you to him. I mean, he gave me the opportunity to get my feet wet and basically let me run as a young 22, 23-year-old coach, with, you know, running an offense and coaching infield. And unbelievable opportunity to grow there. So, and then from there, now it'd be, you know, Todd Easton, our head coach here. I'm talking about, you know, coaches really love guys. They really love working for guys that don't micromanage them. And man, I've learned so much from him, and he's let me fall on my face a bunch of times because he gives me so much responsibility, and I can't thank him enough of being able to have this opportunity. That's why I've been here for 6 years, because I love this place. It's very unique. It's one of the best places for me to grow as a person. But you know, when you work for a guy like that, and you love to come to work every day, and you got some of the same philosophies, and you know, you basically evaluate yourself every day and you figure out how you're going to get better. And you got a guy that's on that same plan, and he pushes you to be better. That's, you know, it's special to work for a guy like that. And that's why it's been hard for me to leave here. You know, so those guys are huge. There's been so many other guys, you know, I mean, Sheets, just you in general, man. I was telling the story the other day that I had, you know, they were asking me how I got to know you. And I said, man, when my first year coaching, I started working some DeMarini Top 96 camps, and I can't believe how many great, you know, coaches that I've been able to come across, and the connections that I have now because of Top 96, and sure. Just being able to learn some stuff from you. And there's so many guys, and I can't thank guys enough, and that's why I'm always trying to give back, because these guys were, you know, unbelievable on their time. But you know, one guy that's, you know, one thing I want to say, because it's very important, I got it from a guy named James Martin, and you know, just talking about the relationship piece with your players, and you know, that guy still calls me once a month and stays in touch and asks me what I'm doing. He's the hitting coach at Seminole State. He's been there forever, and awesome human being. But you know, he's done it as good as anybody. And I think one of the best lines is, you know, the coaches that we love the most, the teachers that we love the most, they loved us first. So, you know, I think that's huge, you know, and I think if us, you know, us as, you know, coaches and mentors, if we're able to love first and we're able to love the person first, you know, it goes a long way. So love the person first and the player second. You know, if I just focus on the player first, it, usually doesn't work out as good in the long run, because when you get in those sticky situations, you need to know, you know, what's going on in that kid's background and who he's about, and you know, and the things that he's went through in his life. So if you love that person first, then getting to know that player and coaching that player becomes a lot easier. And you know, that's what a lot of those coaches did for me growing up. That's why you know, they've had a huge impact on my life, because basically they love me first. So I think that's very important.
Sure. Last question here, and you kind of referenced it a couple times, but if you could, you know as well as I do, these podcasts are fantastic for coaches across every single level, and that's why we're dedicated to putting them out, is getting this great content out and giving our listeners, our coaches, something to really hold on to, and especially these episodes where they get a chance to listen to a guy like yourself talk, Tyler, and go, man, I'm in those guys' shoes, man. I've been through that before. I think that same way, or I've learned that same lesson. And you being only 8 years in, you know, there might be a young coach, which is, we're right in their wheelhouse. We're talking technology, tech savvy guys are probably into podcasts, and listen to this at 22, 23, 24, 25, first few years of coaching. What would you offer those young guys? What's some direct advice that you think they need to hear that'll set them off on the right path?
Man, I'm telling you, I wish I'd have figured out podcasts at the age of 22, 23. I got onto podcasts about 2 years ago, actually, when I was driving back from College Station, Texas, in summer ball. I had a 17-hour drive back home to Phoenix, and I got tired of listening to music, and I figured out this podcast thing. So I just listened to podcasts for 17 hours straight, and I caught myself taking notes. And I think that was it. That right there has been one of the biggest growth things that I've done over the last 2 years. I try to listen to one every morning. I try to take notes on it and try to add it to whatever I'm doing, and you know, see what that blueprint looks like for whatever person. And I listen to all different types of podcasts. So absolutely, listen to podcasts are unbelievably huge. The books, reading books has been unbelievable for me. I've been able to take a lot out of development through books and talking to other coaches on different types of books and looking at things in different perspective. You know, a lot of times you read these books from certain people, especially if it's a biography, and you're getting that person's life experience for, you know, 50, 60 years, and you're getting that in 2 or 3 hours. You're learning life lessons that they've learned their entire life in 2 or 3 hours of reading that book. So I think that's really, really important. I think to get out there and just work. I think that's the main key. Get out, work, and learn. And the ABCA was huge for me. I think this was 7 or 8 years in a row now to the ABCA convention, and I've met so many people. I've learned my philosophies is just unbelievable. I was wowed the first year that I went in Dallas, and you know, I told Marty Lees this on through Twitter not too long ago, that I was just wowed about his presentation that he gave that year, and I implemented that stuff to my infield development plan, and it's just continued to grow from there. And you know, I have a couple coaches that call me, and you know, every year, and they're always like, okay, Gillum, I want to take the jump from high school to college, or, you know, what do you think I need to do to make the next jump? And I tell them, you know, I study a lot of successful people, and this is what happens. You got to go all in, and you got to understand that adversity is going to happen. You're not going to make money for a long time. You got to pay your dues, but you got to love what you do. And I see a lot of guys that fall through and maybe go into some other field and don't like the coaching piece of it as much, or just get complacent or whatever it is, because the money's not great to start with. And, you know, they're studying successful people. There's a saying that you're going to start out and you're going to be at the bottom 10% of whatever field you go into. And if you grind it out long enough, if you believe in the 10,000 hour rule, if you believe in connections, if you believe in hard work, and then over a period of time, you're going to get to that top 10% as long as you keep working, you care about the people around you. And, you know, and that's the biggest thing, the work piece of it. Don't get caught up in the money piece. Money will eventually come if you love what you do, if you love impacting people, if you love the game of baseball. Just figure out how you're going to get better at it every single day and make connections. And, you know, that's been the biggest key for me, and it still is my foundation for most of the decisions I make, is you know, am I going to grow? Am I going to learn? Am I going to become better because of this situation? Am I going to make connections because of this situation? Do I have a chance to impact people? So, you know, almost every coach says it on this podcast or a bunch of podcasts, be where your feet are. And you know, it is cliche and everybody says it, but it's so important. You look at different cultures and they believe in meditation and they talk about, you know, the Zen-like stuff, you know, all of that stuff is the same thing in life. Be where your feet are, be present. You know, look people in the eye when they're talking to you, get to know them on a personal level. And it's all about people. You know, this game, all the coaches that I reference to, it's all about people. It's all about, you know, impacting them and serving others. You know, I'll leave you this. There's one podcast called Entree Leadership that I love. It's Dave Ramsey's podcast, and he yes. interviews leaders all over the place. You know, me and you've talked about this quite a bit. And there's a business guy that I was listening to, and this was actually on my trip home from Texas. First time listening to this podcast, and the guy said, I got into business and I wanted to make $1 million, and that was my goal. And he said, I never made $1 million until I changed that goal to serve 1 million people. And when I made my goal to serve 1 million people and I started trying to do that every day, then I ended up making $1 million. So I think that's very important. This living a life of service, no matter what you're doing in life, is hugely important. And I think that's the biggest piece of being a young coach. Coach this game a long time, stay in this game a long time. It's just whatever you're doing, and just serve everybody to the best that you possibly can serve, and good things are going to happen.
That is an absolute dime, coaches. I hope you wrote that down, and if you didn't, I promise you it'll probably be one of our quote images on Twitter. So, Tyler, we cannot thank you enough for sitting down and giving us this great information, being part of our Dugout Chatter, call us on the Clubhouse podcast. Man, we thank you for what you're doing, how you're going about it. We wish you and the rest of the guys at South the very best this season, and we hope to continue to stay in touch, and we look forward to talking with you soon.
Thanks, Sheets. Really appreciate the time, man. Love you, and look forward to listening to more of the podcast in the future, man.
Young in age, but you certainly couldn't tell once he started rolling. Tremendous stuff from Tyler Gillum, the assistant coach at South Mountain Community College out in Arizona. We appreciate him joining us on our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. For our listeners, guys, it should have been easy to hear that Tyler is consumed with personal growth, but not just for himself, the players, the people he comes in contact with. Such a very inspiring young coach out there in our game. And there's a ton of takeaways from this episode, but I love the personal growth program that he's constructed, the positive benefits that have come from growing his team outside the white lines. You know, we're all, as coaches, looking to make the greatest impact that we can on our guys. We all want to bring our team together, and it looks like he's on to something very big here. So thanks again for your time, Tyler. We wish you and the South guys the very best the rest of the season. One of the main takeaways I hope we all heard is the commitment to challenging what we know or what we're doing constantly. Always seeking connection with coaches around the country, guidance, mentorship, but keeping ourselves vulnerable and open to discussion and growth. Checking out podcasts, even if they're not just baseball shows. You know, reading as many books as we can. Just being consumed with developing ourselves personally and professionally. And I really think this is the true beauty of our game. Heard so many great coaches talk about coming to the ballpark and learning something new every day, if we're willing to see it and look for it. So love that mindset. Love Tyler bringing that to our podcast today. We hope our coaches took note of that. As we keep moving forward, we want to make sure you're dialed into the release of every podcast that comes out. Here's one way. Stay tuned to our website, abca.org. You can click on the resources tab at the top. Call us on the Clubhouse podcast link. We'll be right there waiting for you. You can always reach the podcast through our website. Check out those episodes that came out before this one. The easiest way to do it is subscribe to our show. On your iPhone or your Android device, every single Tuesday when we release a brand new episode, it's going to pop up on your phone, show up on your computer. These were made for Automobile University. I'm talking about in the car or on the bus, to and from the office or the field, even during your workouts, guys. These are for you and to be listened to on your time. We hope you're following us at ABCA1945. You'll always see the release of the podcast, but then follow us throughout the week. We're going to take quotes from that show. release them on our Twitter account, links to hear it. We ask that you just keep retweeting, forwarding those links, reach as many people as you can. And again, guys, the premise stays the same. We're working hard to connect each of you with the very best baseball minds in our game, working to get them on our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast and deliver this certified audio gold directly to you. So if you were paying attention last night, you might have noticed on Twitter there's a little bit of activity, and you may not have known what that was. That was our hashtag ABCA chat, and it always follows the release of our traditional Calls from the Clubhouse show. We're back on Monday nights. We're talking 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's extremely simple to join us. I even had a coach this morning reach out. How do I get involved? Simple. Search hashtag ABCA chat on your phone or your computer. Click on latest, and you'll see the most recent tweet that's come out with the hashtag ABCA chat. We're going to have a countdown to 9 o'clock. We're going to pose questions every 5 to 10 minutes. Our coaches that are on are going to share information, answer those questions, but then they're engaging with one another. They're connecting, forging relationships. It's an awesome time. We want every single coach that's out there to look to join our next ABCA chat. Coming at you guys Monday, April 17th. And again, just a tremendous platform to help coaches grow, sharpen their coaching philosophies. It brings all of us together for one night, just for an hour, just to help grow our game. So it's an awesome time, and we'll see you on the next hashtag ABCA chat. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at ABCA1945. You can find me on there as well at CoachSheets3, or you can reach me directly by email Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at ABCA.org. There is nothing better than connecting with our coaches. I'm talking about the tweets, the emails, the messages, guys. They're so inspiring. And I took some calls over the past few weeks. Every single coach referenced the podcast. Even guys that I thought, there's no way this guy listens to podcasts. They sure do. So we're doing our part, guys. You are spreading the word, and it's working. So keep it up. Tweet about the show. Send us a note. Retweet our link. Make sure we help reach every single baseball coach or even a baseball enthusiast out there. So keep it up, boys. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for your help on that. And lastly, we hope you're part of the world's largest baseball coaches fraternity here at the ABCA. We've got over 8,000 coaches worldwide who are part of the association. And guess what? It's only $45 to become a member. You can be part of something much bigger than yourself. This is your professional coaching association. We hope to see you jump on board this real soon. So until next week, guys, keep growing, keep developing. We wish you and your club the very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.